You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Alisa Hollinger on the line, and she's CEO of Hollinger Tax Resolution. Alisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm excited to get into today's topic. So we'll be talking about really resolving tax problems for small business owners. And I know you work with a number of different clientele, but what I want to talk about today is get into some stories and like there's hope on the other side, like as business owners that, you know, maybe somebody got themselves into tax trouble. They started a business, it grew, they didn't exactly know how to manage everything correctly. I mean, there's another side to that. And I know you're helping business owners day in and day out with that. So we'll dive into that topic today. But before we do, let's get into our Mission Matters Minute. So Alisa, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's what we do. Alisa, what mission matters to you?
Fighting the IRS is not what I ever envisioned I'd be doing. In fact, I started in nursing school. And after time, I realized that was not for me. Then nurses work hard, way harder. I'll take the IRS any day of the week. But, you know, I just went into taxes because that was the thing for me. Over the years, I've seen this dark side to the IRS and I've seen the lives that have been ruined. And when it kind of hit home with some close friends that had an individual commit suicide over taxes, that was something I had never even considered before. Yeah. And that day, my life, my whole commitment to taxpayers completely changed. So if I can help one family, one business, one person, I know it sounds cliche, but tax problems ruin lives. Yeah. And I've seen it hand time and time again. And they kind of go hand in hand with other things that people are dealing with. So my goal out of all this is just to truly help taxpayers, give them some information, help them get what they need, and help them get their life back. That's ultimately what I try to do.
Awesome. And I love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the line to really share why they do what they do. And I mean, it comes across in your voice. You're obviously extremely passionate and have a personal attachment to helping taxpayers. So I think it's awesome. One of the things that you mentioned is, you know, everyday people. They're also suffering from this, and they also have, you know, these things where they need representation. Because I feel like most times, the only times like mainstream hears about taxes or anything like this is really like if a celebrity, right? Like, because they're the ones that are going to get the news. It's like, oh, so and so's an avoider or whatever it's called, abstaining from taxes and all these things. And because they're a celebrity, it makes the news. But you, and I want you to go further into this at Hollinger Tax Resolution, like you're working with everyday people. Like, tell me a little bit more about the business and what you do on the day to day.
Okay. We're basically an emergency room for troubled taxpayers. I mean, that's the nuts and bolts. People come in when they call us, they've often had our name, our number for 12 months. Wow. And they're so afraid. They're so overwhelmed. They're embarrassed. This is not something people talk about. I would say 1 in 10, maybe 1 in 7 have a serious tax problem, but people don't talk about it. It's taboo. It's kind of where divorce and some of those bankruptcy used to be years and years and years ago. And now that's where tax problems are. So you would be surprised at the people that have problems. I have businesses that I work with all over the nation, and especially in my area, that I know that they're hurting. And yet their customers don't know, their family members don't know, sometimes their spouses don't know that that they're hurting. So it's people that are just self-employed, it's wage earners, that's somebody that gets a W-2, it's business owners, it's businesses. It really, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's little guys that owe 10,000 and people that owe millions of dollars. It's really, and I've helped them all at all different facets. And one thing I've always, that I've noticed across all of them is they're always good people.
Yeah.
There, I think two people in my whole 20 years have been what we would call true people that are trying to defraud the government. And they stick out in my mind very well.
Two
people. Now there may be more, but these people, I specifically know they are either tax avoiders, tax protesters, you know, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. But everybody else have just been good people trying to live their life, trying to run their business, take care of their family, mm-hmm. and they somehow end up in tax trouble.
Yeah, I get that as well. So I get that not everybody, and I'm glad you brought out the number, because I was going to, you know, put you on the spot for a percentage, but that gives an example, like how many years you've been in this business, and maybe you can count on one hand or maybe two hands if you really dig deep on how many people are doing this like very systematically. Like it does, that's not the case. There's a couple of different ways I want to approach this topic. I want to approach it, of course, from the just the general everyday taxpayer. Maybe we start there, and then let's jump up a little bit in terms of being complication, because we know the business owner versus the, you know, W-2 wage earner or someone that's maybe just has a 1099. They were driving Uber and they didn't know they owed something, and now they got this thing where they're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I was over here, I just didn't even know. And that piles up. Like I've heard so many stories now that we have this gig economy, to where, you know, you might have a regular job, but you were making other money on the side doing something else. So let's start with just your everyday taxpayer. How do that? So let's approach it starting there. Like, how does that like normally evolve into a tax issue? Let's start there.
It's almost always some moment, a crisis. It could be a divorce, a death in the family, the loss of a job. Sometimes, you know, people just make stupid mistakes. They don't have somebody. And when I say stupid mistake, it's because, you know, they don't know, or they try to figure it out themselves, or maybe they've got some guidance. I call it the barbershop talk, you know, where they just don't know. And I think there are some marketing, some concepts out there that have maybe tried to make the tax system seem easier than it really is, but it is complicated. It's complicated for professionals.
Well, financial education, if we just look at something like compound interest and our savings rate in this country. So let's start this part with just saying finance in general can be tricky if you're not doing it day in and day out. So let's start there, and then let's add tax code to that. So it's like, we're trying to work with the personal budget, then let's add tax code to this. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just had to set the table with that.
Well, and the tax rules have been changing so much. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had new tax forms for the last, every year for the last 4 or 5 years. We have tax rules in the middle of a season. Taxpayers really get the shaft because they can't even plan. They can't utilize the rules. It's frustrating for taxpayers. It's frustrating for professionals as well. So usually when a taxpayer ends up in trouble, something's usually kind of knocked them down. They don't know how to get up. You know, nobody talks about this piece. So, you know, they may say, hey, who does your taxes? But when it's refund time or tax time, you know, they're silent, or they're even just going with the flow because they don't want anyone to know they hadn't filed a tax return. And that's usually what happens with taxpayers. Something happens. They go to file or prepare the return and they owe a lot of money and they can't pay it. So they panic and they don't pay, or they don't file. That's the number one mistake that most taxpayers make, is they don't file their tax return. I understand the logic of why they don't file, because they can't pay. Mm-hmm. And they always have the intention to get it right next year. Well, then next year happens and they hadn't filed the year before, and then it just keeps spiraling to where all of a sudden it's, you'd be surprised, people have gone 15, 10, 20, 30 years and they haven't filed a tax return. And they're just paralyzed with fear. They're just waiting, walking around with this big cloud over their shoulder, because they don't know when the IRS is going to come knocking.
Okay, so let's next side of this. I want to now tackle from the business owner's point of view, and then we'll talk about like there's hope on the other side. So this isn't for everybody watching the interview. This isn't all doom and gloom, but I do want to set the stage for maybe some people that are watching that are maybe going through some things right now, just to know that you're not alone. Like it's not that you had this like intention of being this person. Like that this is a common thing that's happening that Elisa is mentioning. Yeah. So this isn't all doom and gloom. We will get to, I promise, the hope on the other side part, but I want to paint the picture now for business owners. So how does that sometimes happen for business owners?
It's almost always cash flow problems. Hmm. If you're a new business, a lot of business owners, they're so good at what they do, but they don't know the first thing about the accounting or the payroll taxes or the responsibilities. And, you know, maybe they buy a lot of equipment and all of a sudden now they can't pay their taxes. It's almost always payroll taxes. Yeah. I shouldn't say always. It's about 75% of the time payroll taxes are what get a business in trouble. Mm-hmm. And then you have the income taxes depending on how they've set their business up and everything. But it usually starts because there's just not enough money.
Yeah.
And one of the hard conversations that I have to have with business owners at times is your business viable? Because mm-hmm. if you can't pay your current taxes and run your business, that means you don't really have a business that you should be in. And that's probably the hardest conversation that I have to tell a taxpayer is, I don't know if this is going to make sense. Yeah. You know, you're good at what you do, but owing the IRS is one thing, but being told that maybe your business isn't going to make it, you know, that's worse than telling somebody they owe the IRS. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's my job to have those tough conversations so I can help them. Doesn't do anybody any good if I sugarcoat things. But for business owners, it's almost always cash flow problems. Mm. They take short-term loans from the government, again, with the intention, I'll catch it up next week. Maybe they had a big job that they were waiting for payment and it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. They got to pay their employees. So their employees keep working. And so what do? They borrow from the government. And then they can't pay it back. And the penalties for doing so are so steep. The IRS takes payroll taxes more seriously than any other type of tax that they collect. So, and it's probably, I'd say 75% of all taxes collected in our nation are payroll taxes. Mm-hmm. So they really, really, they penalize taxpayers hard. They go after them. They close businesses. Mm-hmm. It's the number one issue that I would say most small business owners really don't understand the magnitude. And then they end up in trouble.
Yeah. And just to put some, I hesitate to give you an example with numbers, but I'm going to do it anyway. So let's just say, for example, just to flesh out what you're saying a little bit more in terms of the business owner, because that is a key concept and it's a hard one, is like, let's say that the business owner is not paying taxes. They're making, and we're going to use very simple math, $10,000 a month, and they need, you know, $8,000 of that to live on. And the other $2,000 is covering just hard expenses for whatever their profit is. So they have exactly zero. Well, they don't have zero, right? Because they owe taxes on that money. So now what happens is that's where you may be making money, but you may still not, you have to figure some things out. Like you still may not have a viable business. Is that what you're saying? I just want to put a little bit more behind that.
Basically. So when a business has employees, they are usually paying the net payroll. So when they're calculating expenses, they're looking at net payroll, and then this other money, they're holding it in trust. It's the money that they have withheld from their employees, and it's sitting there, and they're supposed to turn that over to the IRS. Well, because they're not bringing in enough overall to cover gross payroll, which is the employees part and then the taxes, they end up in trouble. It's usually because a company, they had either their income is just too low to cover everything. Mm-hmm. And then they have this money set aside for the taxes, or supposed to set it aside and turn it over to the IRS. Well, often what happens is they're just running their paycheck or their business by what's in their bank account. And then they realize, oh my gosh, I'm not even covering the taxes that my employees owe, let alone the income taxes for the business. Yeah. So they usually end up upside down because they're just not making enough money, or maybe they're just not getting paid fast enough to make all of their obligations.
I'll just say your example was way better, and I was expecting that. mine was like trying to bring it to like kindergarten. Like you have two crayons and you need to like one crayon goes to Uncle Sam. You get to keep a crayon.
Right,
if Uncle Sam didn't get his crayon, then you're in trouble. That's where I was taking it.
Well, it's a lot of times people are not prepared for the payroll tax side of things. Yeah. You know, most people understand income, expenses, and what's left over I pay taxes on. They're just not prepared for that part in the middle when they have employees. And often it's when employees or when businesses have employees, that's usually when they get into trouble. If they don't have employees, then it's just an income tax thing. It's not a payroll tax thing.
Awesome. All right. So now let's progress in the conversation to the other side. Like there is hope. There is something light at the end of this tunnel when you do start working with the IRS, because ultimately I know that you're like, they want to collect, I'm guessing. And number two, they want you to continue to run your business ultimately, or to keep working and to keep paying taxes. Right. So they don't want you completely off the radar. So it's my impression that they do want to work with you, and that there are routes for any situation out there, because I'm guessing everything's happened at this point. Am I off on this?
No, you're right. You're right. The IRS, there's a couple of things. One, if a business goes out, now we have employees without a job. We have taxes that are not being collected. We have sales taxes. It's so much bigger than that. So there are programs that are available to help a business get back on track, to help a business, you know, make arrangements, resolve these issues. But ultimately, the taxpayer and the business owner, they have to understand that it's something that it's usually going to be out of their level of understanding. They're, you know, the IRS is like any other creditor. They want their money. I mean, plain and simple, they want their money. That's what our country's run on. They have a job. It's to collect money. It's not their job to make sure that they're collecting what you actually owe, because you may be, they may be over-collecting. I had a situation. I'm still in the middle of finishing it out, but we're like 95% done. It was just two wage earners. And I say that, you know, he had a little bit of stuff on the side, but the IRS was hammering them for $230,000. Hmm. It wasn't the IRS's job to make sure that that was the right amount. That's what was on the books. That's what they were going after. And the taxpayer finally, at the last minute, gosh, they decided they should probably talk to somebody. Wow. So they called me, and I got to look in, and I went through everything, and they only owed $40,000.
Stop.
Now
that client, tell me that client, you're on their Christmas list for the
they're so happy. I mean, they're like night and day, but you know, they didn't understand why they owed. So how they could possibly owe that much money. And it was due to investments and retirement. They didn't understand. They had literally taken a distribution of over $200,000 from their retirement. Now they're in their 60s. They can't afford to pay that money, especially money they don't owe. So when I'm dealing with the revenue officer, those are the people that come to your door. That's way worse than calling the service center. So these people with the badge, they come to your door, they're ready to take your stuff. They're threatening to clean out your bank accounts, and they will. They do it. They have that power. It's not their job to make sure that what they're collecting is what you actually owe. That's the taxpayer's responsibility. So many times a taxpayer says, oh, well, surely the IRS knows I don't owe $300,000. No, they don't. That cog is going and something has to stop it. So usually with taxpayers and with business owners, there is hope there, but they have to do their part. They have to, if they don't understand, if they don't know the rules, if it's over usually even $10,000, they need to get somebody. They need to get help to make sure that what they're paying is what they actually owe. Mm-hmm. And to make sure that they're getting all of the rights that are afforded to them in the taxpayer bill of rights that the IRS has to follow. Now, we all know that employees are part of the IRS.
Yes.
We have rogue employees. It doesn't matter if it's the IRS. It could be Walmart. It could be Target. It could be my office.
Better not be Mission Matters if you're watching
hopefully
this.
It's not my office. But you have an employee that just decides, I don't like you. I'm not going to help you. I'm going to stick it to you. And IRS employees do tend to be jaded. You know, they hear it all the time. They're like, yeah. You don't want to pay your taxes. Well, nobody wants to pay their taxes. You know, it's just part of life. But usually for taxpayers, there's hope there. There's always, I tell all my clients and anybody, whether I work with them or not, there's always a solution. You may not like it, but there's always a solution.
Mm. Awesome. And let's go further into some. I like that you said this, by the way, that there is a solution and that people do, that the IRS does want to work with you, because the ramifications of them not means less money on their end. And I don't know their metrics and we're not getting into that, but I'm guessing that the people that are collecting have their own, you know, thought process on what they need to be collecting in terms of getting through cases and things like that. I'm sure they have their own things. But that aside, like, what does that look like when you start maybe entering the process? Because I feel like the first step is sometimes the hardest with these things. Like, what does that look like for a taxpayer that maybe needs some help?
What I've been told, that the hardest part of all of it is calling me.
Yeah.
Or calling anybody.
Because that's the first step then. That's the first step.
It's the hardest because you're admitting I need help, or I don't understand. Sometimes calling the IRS, but usually what I've had people say, I'm just talking to you has helped, because at least they have a strategy or they have a plan. They're not out there just floating around trying to figure this out on their own. Mm-hmm. And I've often said, oh, don't get so excited yet. You know, we're just getting started. I still need you to be involved and to be engaged and to help me get this. But they're carrying around this weight. So the first thing is, you know, when they get notices, they need to read them. If they don't understand, and I it doesn't matter if you owe $300, mm-hmm. $5 million, $200, it doesn't matter. If you receive a notice from the IRS and you don't understand it, that's the first step, that you either call the IRS or you get a professional. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, I say it's really that simple. And it is. If you will start that process, then, you know, you'll either get through the IRS or you won't. Mm-hmm. You'll find a professional that works, hopefully, for you and does what they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And if they can't help you, they'll let you know. They should let you know. Sometimes there are professionals out there that just want to make money. I mean, obviously, we have to make money to be in business and to be there. But there are, just like in any industry, there are unscrupulous people that I probably would not want my grandmother working with. Yeah. And then there are people that I would say, you can have my child and work with my child because I trust you that much. So, you know, it takes all of us, I guess, to make it work. But the hardest part is just getting started, whether it's with the IRS or with a professional.
And so now let's go a little bit further down that user journey. And obviously, I don't want to oversimplify this. So I'm not saying the specific step, because some things are going to happen. And depending on how much you owe, the process, you're a business owner, individual. I mean, I know it's tons of complexity there, but like, take me just a little bit down, maybe generically or high level, through what a journey could look like working through this system, just a process.
Okay. So if you're working the IRS, we'll start with the IRS. They have a procedure that determines once a debt is determined legitimate, the whole thing starts with an IRS notice call, and I would say CP 14. That's what it is now. That's what it's been for years. Maybe someday they'll change that notice, but nothing can happen with the IRS till that one notice kicks off the whole process. Mm-hmm. And then they just have a roadmap that they follow. Mm. So for a taxpayer, the first thing is, you know, if they have a balance due that they can't pay, then it's figuring out what they can pay. Mm-hmm. We have to figure out what they really owe, not what the IRS says they owe, but what they really owe based on the correct rules and based on what's going on, not just what the IRS has figured out on their own. So we figure out what the taxpayer really owes. Then we have to figure out where they are in the collection process with the IRS.
Yeah.
Every little step that the IRS takes, there are taxpayer rights along the way. Mm-hmm. And if the IRS goes too far, and often this happens when taxpayers ignore the IRS, they have missed what there's always an easy way and a hard way. So they're missing opportunities to kind of say, halt, to the IRS, stop. I don't agree with you, and to kind of back it up. Mm. Often what happens is taxpayers miss these opportunities. So by the time they come to me, I have to work even harder to protect them and to stop the process, because they've missed these opportunities that are built right into the system. And I understand taxpayers are terrified. Yeah. The IRS has all this control, and the stuff they do is horrific. And it's all true. And, you know, there are good people there that will help taxpayers. But, you know, once we figure out what they have to pay, what they owe, what they can afford to pay, then we can figure out what package, what program is going to work to get them back on track. The IRS has programs and, you know, tools to help taxpayers. Mm-hmm. Are they easy? No. Is it the IRS's job to help you figure that out? No.
No.
They're there. They have it. They dump it in your lap. It's the taxpayer's responsibility to sort it out mm-hmm. and figure out what makes the most sense to get me back on track and to help mm-hmm. me take care of my business or my family. Yeah. Once we figure out what program makes sense, and then we develop a process in essence to implement that strategy mm-hmm. and get them to the other side.
And this is part of what you're doing. So the whole thing, Hallinger Tax Resolution. So from that first call all the way to thinking about like what's the correct program, all the way to working, like you're helping through this whole process. Am I right on that?
We're usually the driving force we're almost like I always say I'm like a bull in a china closet. I'm pushing it through. I'm making stuff happen. I tell folks when we work together, I have some people. This is probably not something to brag about, but I've made grown men cry because I'm like, you're going to do this. I can help you. We're going to do this together. I lock arms with them and I kind of drag them along until they get and they can start to see that there's, light at the end of the tunnel. Most of the time taxpayers, like I said, they're good people. They mm-hmm. just want to know, can you help? Will you help me? And I usually know in about 30 minutes whether or not I can help somebody. And if I can't help them, I let them know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work on something that I don't create any value. That's not any fun for me. I like to win. I like to win big. Mm-hmm. So if I'm working with somebody that I'll say, hey, you know what? You just need to call the IRS. Here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to ask them. You know, if you were to pay me, you'd be better off just to pay the IRS and be done. It doesn't make sense for us to work together. But I give them guidance because even the people that don't need my help, I want them to win and they do need mm-hmm. my help. It just doesn't make sense for them to pay for it. Yeah. So I try to help them, but there's so many opportunities for taxpayers if they would kind of get out of their own head and mm-hmm. Just start to ask for help.
It's great. And so the way I was going to brand you, Lisa, was to say you're more of a tax concierge where you make the process as nice as possible. I wasn't going to say you make grown men cry. I was going to say concierge.
Well,
that's where I was going with your branding, but it's okay. Like maybe they do need to be put in the headlock and say, come on, make that call. Whatever they need, the point is you're there.
if you're going to work with the IRS, I have people all the time that try to, it just even in the business world, they'll say, oh, well, if you don't do this, I'm like, dude, I work with the IRS. You don't scare me. So, I mean, I work with big guys, little old ladies. I mean, I work with them all. But my passion is so strong that I tell folks, if you're not serious about resolving this, this may not be the place for you because I'm ready I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready to go. And I fight to the end. If I don't think that I can do that, then I don't mm-hmm. take the case. It doesn't make any sense. Again, I like to win and I like to win big. And I like to see my taxpayers, my clients, when they come in, they are so emotionally exhausted from this weight. Yeah. And I'll never forget this little guy. And he's still a client. He's near and dear to my heart. And when he come in, he had lost everything. He'd had a heart attack. He'd been in the hospital. His wife had got rid of all his stuff. He was in, he owed the IRS hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm. And when we got him all cleaned up, and I mean, his tax problem was cleaned up. We got it fixed up. He ended up owing nothing. So it was pretty amazing. He come in one day and he was dressed to the nines. He had his hair done and he had cologne on. And I almost didn't recognize him. And he's like, man, I am a sexy beast. Now to hear a 60-year-old man say that, but it was, I mean, the transformation was
awesome.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I see that all the time, people that actually they've been there, they're desperate, they're miserable and they've lost everything, whatever it is. And then you get them to the other side and there's huge weight lifted. I mean, they're different people. It is really, that's why I do it. Because when I see people get to the other side, it almost sometimes it just makes me want to cry when I think of the change in these people.
Oh, what a great story. And thank you for sharing that. And maybe your new tagline is, I work with the IRS, dude, you don't scare me. I'm feeling that. I got a little sweat going over here. I'm feeling a little, watch it. And then you have the crosshairs for the
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But seriously, this is, I mean, great stories and just great content. And the main thing here and the message that I know that you and I were talking about, we wanted to convey through this interview was really just to let people know that are maybe through going through some things that that there is hope, like there's another side of this, and that there are processes, like, and you're also not alone. So you're not alone in terms of like going through these challenges, and especially thinking about the last couple of years, what's been going on. Just recording this in 2021. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that were affected, and we get it, especially on the business side. I can't tell you, you know, there's some wins on one side, but a lot of people I've talked to, you know, they lose a couple key clients. People are going bankrupt. Right. The business are going bankrupt. Like entire models are shifting. So taxes, all that's a big part of it. So sometimes that's not the number one thing to consider. Like if you're trying to just survive. But the point is when you do have the ability to mentally like think about it, and when you are ready, that working with a team like Elisa's or finding help or doing what you have to do out there like does make sense, because there is hope. Like that's the main thing we want to convey.
Absolutely.
So, Elisa, I'll just say this has been awesome. I learned a lot, had a lot of fun, of course, as always, and I knew this would be fun working with you today. So that being said, what's next? I mean, what's next for you? What's next for Hollinger Tax Resolution?
Well, as we are finishing up the tax season and we're getting ready for another tax season, we're really just helping taxpayers. There's a lot of IRS enforcement going on, and we're gearing up because the IRS has been approved some more money, and they're going to be hiring new agents. And when they hire new agents, these people are ready to go. They just don't know what they're doing. So it does make it a little bit tougher for taxpayers. So we're just gearing up to help as many people as we can. Mm-hmm. And the Christmas time is for some folks is a really tough time to deal with the tax problems. And, you know, if it's tax time, it's hard because taxpayers, you know, they haven't dealt with it and they don't know where to go. But, you know, really tax problems are year round. We work with all the time. I mean, I have people say, oh, I thought tax season was done. I'm like, dude, I'm doing non-filers for years on end. Yeah. So we work all year round. There's no time that is, unless I'm on a cruise or vacation, then I might have to put them on hold for a minute. But, you know, the next step is we're just keep doing what we're doing. We're constantly training, learning, and we participate in a lot of professional groups. So we have the inside scoop of what's going on in the IRS. So we can be prepared for whatever is coming our way, which usually is important, because taxpayers often, they don't usually know what's going on until after the fact, where the whole time we're already seeing the shift. We know what's going on and we're preparing myself and our team so that we can help as many people, because there's at least 15 million people have tax problems. It's a lot. I can't help everybody, but the ones that I can help or that I do get to help, their lives are changed forever.
Fantastic. So, Elisa, if somebody's watching this and they want to learn more and to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, with technology, you know, life is everywhere. So we have a website. It's 501tax.com. Very, very easy. And we have a fantastic Facebook following where we are constantly posting what's going on, try to educate taxpayers and our clients. There's email. You can call. That's probably the best way, is just to call us at, can I get my phone number?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's 501-725-2626. And, you know, call us, email, call us, whatever makes sense for you. But we've got, let's see, website, email, which is Elisa@501tax.com. And we've got our Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. And, you know, I just say, find somebody, even if it's not me. I think I'm the best, but find somebody that can help you, at least let you know where to go next.
No, that's great. And that's a great message. And we'll definitely put all that information in the show notes as well, because we want to make it really easy for our listeners and viewers to just go down the show notes, hit click the button and go to the website and have a conversation with Elisa and her team. First off, for everybody watching, really appreciate you tuning in today. If you're a first time viewer or listener, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. We have many, many more mission-based business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives coming up, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Alisa, I'll just say this has truly been a pleasure. I'm having you on the show today. I learned a lot. I learned a lot of different resources. I'm sure my viewers did as well. So thank you for bringing all that value to the show today.
Thank you for having me.